Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com. On behalf of our family of hosts, staff, and the millions of listeners who have tuned in since 2009, we want to wish you happy holidays and ask for your support as we launch our daily in-house news coverage. Please consider making us a part of your end-of-year giving in 2013. Your membership donation is tax-deductible and the best way to show you believe in our work and the importance of a free, food-focused media resource. Consider donating today at heritageradionetwork.org by clicking the Donate button. Thanks for your support and enjoy the show.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Wednesday, and it's 5 o'clock. And if it's Wednesday, and it's 5 o'clock, and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, you're listening to me, Phil Colicchio, host of The Business of the Business. That is the show on the Heritage Radio Network that explores the business side of the hospitality industry. Sometimes it's restaurants, sometimes it's hotels, sometimes it's travel, sometimes it's yachts, and sometimes it's academia. You can hear us each week here at www.heritageradionetwork.org. And if you miss the show live, occasionally someone will miss the show live. They usually have to submit written notes as to why they missed it. But if you do, you can go to the archive and just click on the Business of the Business at the heritageradionetwork.org archive. And you can listen to any one of the 40 or so shows we have in the bank, as they say, in the radio business. Heading into Christmas time, New Year's, I hope you've all enjoyed our shows during year 2013. We hope to bring you more interesting shows in 2014. And anyone who's got a sense of an area that we might have missed over the year in the hospitality industry, more than welcome to take a suggestion from you. And we'll try and produce a professional in that area. Okay, let's get down to business. So we're going to continue our interview with Dr. Martin O'Neill, the Bruno Professor and Department Head of the Department of Nutrition, Dietetics, and Hospitality Management at Auburn University in Auburn, Alabama. Martin, welcome back.
Thank you, Phil.
May I begin this segment with a proper introduction? War Damn Eagle.
War Damn Eagle.
How about that? All right. So Auburn University, while right now is known for having an incredible year in NCAA college football, a couple of the most amazing finishes I think we've seen.
Yeah. Destiny.
Destiny. And Dr. O'Neill, I know you're proud of what the what the football program represents to the university.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. I mean, they certainly show the best of college athletics: grit, determination.
Yeah, they show a lot in college athletics, but you know, one thing you need to understand as well: being a college community, they rely very heavily upon football economically, as well as, you know, on many other senses. But it's the life and blood of the community, and it's a great place to live and be a part of it.
Well, one of these days, I really do want to get some official from the SEC, Southeastern Conference, to talk about the hospitality component of the football programs in that conference. I like to say that the SEC is an economy unto itself, and it's quite extraordinary. But Auburn is part of the Southeastern Conference, but we're not here to talk all about football today. We had to bring it up because They're doing so well.
I forced you to.
You did not. You did not. I actually loved watching the sort of a worst to first season here. But I want to talk about the hospitality management program.
Sure.
That you direct at Auburn University. And we're broadcasting here in the northeastern United States. A first instinct of a student around here is probably not Auburn, Alabama. Yet you're finding a significant increase in students from our area, aren't you?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Oh, I mean, there are a lot of reasons, really, and I can attach myself to many of them. I came on loan to Auburn not really knowing where Auburn, Alabama was. I had heard of the song Sweet Home Alabama, but really geographically couldn't pinpoint the state or the town on a map of the United States. And when we arrived, my wife and I, we used to walk around the community and we bump into a lot of people. They'd tell us they'd been there for 5 years, for 10 years. We'd look at each other and wonder, how is that possible? Lo and behold, 11 years later, we are members of that very thriving community that we once took a step back and almost laughed at.
Yeah, so, you know,
it's positive for a lot of reasons.
As a New York guy, Northeast guy, when I get to spend time at Auburn, I feel blessed.
Yeah.
I feel blessed.
We talk a lot about quality of life, and it's one of those communities. It's the quintessential southeastern college community. Mm-hmm. Where quality of life, quality of academics, quality of environment, quality infrastructure, just quality programming, quality everything is very much the focus. And it's very easy to settle into that. It really is. You know, for kids that are coming in, I often hear people, and we just discussed it a little while ago, about it being perceived as a little slower. It's not necessarily a little slower. It's what I consider to be, and you hear it, play it on all the time, just that little bit more endearing. It's that little bit more tuned in to the individual. Mm-hmm. It's that little bit more welcoming. I mean, I love coming up to the Northeast, but you've got this god-awful thing here called the cold.
It is. Yeah.
And, you know, you get down to climate. You've got a beautiful climate. I was running around in shorts last week, for goodness sake, and that's November. It's just a very nice place to live, and it's easy for me. You know, we look at the Irish American community here in the Northeast, but you know, a lot of us came in the Southeast.
Absolutely.
And I'm just back to make sure that
Savannah,
wonderful thing that we called hospitality is still thriving and well.
Well, for the next 30 minutes or so, you are going to be broadcasting from the Bushwick campus of Auburn University.
Okay.
All right.
Let's get it on.
So let's do it. I want to talk about the things that make the Auburn hospitality program unique. And again, because I get to work with you and the other professors down there. I think I know, but I'm in a privileged position. Let's talk for a minute about the overall curriculum at the school. If you're going to go down there and major in hospitality management,
okay,
tell me what I'm going to be doing.
It's a liberal arts school, and as with most liberal arts schools in the United States, you have a gen ed requirement. Beyond the gen ed requirement, you have what we call our college requirement. You know, the College of Human Sciences, its central focus is quality of life. There are three departments there, one in human development and family studies, one in consumer sciences, and the other in nutrition, dietetics, and hospitality. And we like all of our students to leave with a sense about what all of those, you know, those departments are about. And that is enhancing health and quality of life for all of the citizens in the state of Alabama and further afield. Then, of course, there's the hospitality core, as it were, on the program. And when we look at the hospitality core, there are a number of different things. There are what we call the operationally focused subjects, food and beverage, lodging, front office, that sort of thing. That's our bread and butter, our day-to-day. Guest service is a very important part of that. And then there's the very functional aspect to what we do. We concentrate, as most schools do, on subject matter such as strategic hospitality management, financial hospitality management, marketing management, operations management, things of that nature. One of the things that differentiates us is this concentration on ultra-luxury. We have a phenomenal partnership.
And I was just about to go there. Okay. I want to devote the balance of the show to two things.
Okay.
I want to devote part of it to the unique partnership that Auburn University has developed with the Capella Hotel Group.
That's correct, yeah.
Which is an extraordinary international hotel management group with some of the greatest hoteliers in the world. working there. But also something I want to jump into first.
Okay.
So as and that is the Brewing Sciences program. I'm just going to flat out say it. I cannot believe you pulled that off.
Okay.
As the department head of a university that takes on some an incredible importance in your state. And in the Bible Belt of the United States, you've been able to conceive, initiate, and actually bring a brewing sciences program to Auburn University. You're only one of two of those programs in the country. How'd you do that?
Goodness. Flabbergasted. Stuck for words. Really, it was quite easy. There are two real key drivers to it.
You're at one of two schools in the country that do this. People who listen to this show, that's a business segment that's really important in this country.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting to. I mean, you have an excellent program at UC Davis through their extension program in California.
They're too far away.
It's okay, location-wise, it doesn't suit everyone, but, you know, they have a wait list. I don't know how many deep. But what we have is we have an industry that has been just booming developmentally in this country, and particularly
craft
in the
brewing is craft brewing is I've said it, I've used it in another area, but I mean it is an economy.
Yeah, it is unto itself, and particularly in the state of Alabama. And what we've noticed is, you know, we've gone from a standing start of about 3 craft breweries 3 years ago to I think being close to 43 by the end of this next year. Those are slated on the books to come into being.
So, yeah, my friends, the Back 40 guys
do a great job. Yeah, we work with them. We work with them on our programming. But, you know, what you have is you have this huge boom in craft brewing and craft breweries. And at the same time, you have a huge demand for people who are educated to work in those premises. And there aren't a lot of programs. I mean, you've got UC Davis at a university level. You've now got Colorado who are getting onto it because they see the opportunity. You've also got the Siebel Institute. It's not a university, but they're a very good organization out of Chicago who work with the Domans Beer Academy that I visited with in Munich, Germany. And they're all doing a good job. But what they're able to say is that there are not enough slots and way too many people. And we've experienced that ourselves. And, you know, the program was approved formally in June this year for a start date of August 2014. And we're 300 plus deep.
So, Dr. O'Neill, I want to hear, will I be able to get a degree in brewing science?
No,
will I get a concentration?
It's a graduate program. It's a standalone graduate certificate program that is directed at a number of different, you know, markets, as it were. You've got people who work in brewing who want to move up and move on. So professional development wise, this is affording them an opportunity. You've got people who are home brewing, which is now legal in the state of Alabama, legalized just past, in May of this year. They want to develop their education and, I guess, engage in the practice of home brewing in a much more informed sense. You've got folks who are outside of the world who have an interest, have a curiosity, they want to get into it. And, of course, also at Auburn University, you have a continual student brigade who want one more football season. And a lot of those kids are very interested in coming back, which is why we have to pay a lot of attention to the recruitment and selection process. But we haven't advertised a thing. In actual fact, daily I get emails. I was sharing with you today as well.
Yep.
And the first question is, we're trying to find information on your program, but we can't find it. And I call these people and I say, that has been deliberate.
Right.
We have been inundated. But to your point, you get a grad cert. That's 18 credit hours toward what we hope to develop 2 years down the line, which will be a full-blown master brewing program.
Right.
In collaboration with an international university, which will require that the students will have to go overseas for a semester of study before coming back for a dual certified degree.
It's an incredible advancement, a real validation, frankly, of something that I think a lot of people, at least in America, took for granted for a very long time. All right, this is a show about business, and I'm a selfish guy. I want to know details. How much does it cost if I'm going to enroll in that program?
It's going to cost, it's 18 credit hours, starting in August, finishing the next August. That is $18,000 from start to finish. And, you know, that is comparable to the other programs that we've discussed. When you consider the relocation factor and you consider the board and lodging factor, you don't have to do that with us. This is all online distance education, and it is taken from the comfort of your own home at your own pace.
I can do it from Bushwick?
You can do it from Bushwick. You can do it from the studio.
Wow.
Yeah. You absolutely can. The wonderful thing about it, we've partnered up with industry. We want to make a real difference with this program. I mean, there's been this traditional approach to distance education where it's a lot of chalk and talk. It's captured in video, and, you know, the DVDs or the online streaming go out at whatever period later. We brought in a professional, multimedia crew to work with the faculty on the development of this program. And in doing so, we've partnered up with a wonderful guy. He's a legacy alumni from Auburn, Dale Katechis. And Dale, obviously, is the owner, manager, proprietor of the Oscar Blues craft brewery, which is well known out of Longmont in Colorado. And they also have a premise now over in Brevard. One of the unique things about the program is we'll be holding a residency with Dale and all of his people
at the
Longmont property in the first semester, which will be fall next year.
Dr. Martin O'Neill is my guest here on the Business of the Business at the Heritage Radio Network. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to finish talking about the Brewing Science program, which fascinates me, as well as the partnership with the Capella Hotel Group. I have to say that if someone is fortunate enough to take advantage of what Auburn University has to offer, you'll be working in a cutting-edge brewing sciences program, as well as having the opportunity to work with one of the truly great hotel management companies in the world. Phil Colicchio, Business of the Business, will be back after this break.
Is the only farm in the United States that has its own USDA-inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA-inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high-quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, five generations, 145 years. A full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
Oh,
We are back with Dr. Martin O'Neill, who is the Brunel Professor and Department Head, the Department of Nutrition, Dietetics, and Hospitality Management at Auburn University. During the break, we were favored with one of the brilliant
Roberta's Pizzas,
mm-hmm. The margarita for Dr. O'Neill, who has who's never tried a Brooklyn pizza before.
Got her done.
He seems satisfied. We can talk about Roberta's all day long, but I've got 15 key minutes with you. I want to finish talking about the incredibly unique brewing sciences program at Auburn University, 18 master's credits that can be obtained online. What am I going to learn if I am fortunate enough to be accepted?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been doing a lot of research. You're bringing me full circle again, and undertook a study some years ago that looked at motivations behind homebrewing, as it were, as a serious leisure pursuit, and met a lot of people who were interested in moving into craft brewing, and that began another study, which is looking at craft brewers' motivations for engaging in craft brewing and the relationship between that and employee sort of satisfaction. It's doing something different, something artisanal. It's a love for quality. It's
entrepreneurial.
It's financial independence. It's been able to support your entrepreneurial orientation. That's it. But one of the things that we learned at an early stage was that it's not just science. It's a mixture of science. It's science, engineering, and most importantly, business. A lot of these guys were interested in doing it, but had no idea how to develop the concept, where to secure the finance, how to navigate the legal environment. And a lot of these guys, even when they managed to do that and open the doors, were making product and didn't know what to do with it. So, you know, discontinuity is always a factor. And in the small business sense, I think a lot of people were struggling. So really, it's a combination of science. It's a combination of what we call brewing materials, which is all about agronomy. It's everything from cereal to grains to barley. Well, green as a barley, hops and water, and then we're jumping into engineering, facilities and operations management, and then most importantly of all, the business side of it, and also the practical aspect of it. There is a requirement that people engage with a commercial brewer to, I guess, generate what we'll call practicum hours and undertake what is a real world project in that business arena before graduation.
You've been able to actually acquire a brewing capability.
We do, yeah. I mean, it was important for us. We have two laboratories on campus that are devoted to one brewing, the other being the microbiology and biochemistry that goes into supporting that. It's an interdisciplinary faculty. We've got two guys. One's a biochemist, one's a microbiologist. We got one lady coming out of the College of Agriculture. We have another guy coming out of the College of Business, an entrepreneurship professor, and then myself and a colleague out of the Department of Nutrition, Dietetics, and Hospitality Management. So we do. We've got two labs, and in one of those labs we have our own brewing system. So, you know, we're able to produce product for educational reasons, sensory evaluation reasons, and we're hoping into the future for commercial sale through the hotel and conference center that's an arm of what we have on campus as a learning laboratory.
Beer as a research tool.
Absolutely, yeah. It's all about quality product.
That's
genius.
And
I say that with a very straight face.
That is genius. Dr. Yeah. Martin O'Neill, I think that there is a Nobel Prize somewhere in your future, my friend. So those 18 credits, where do you foresee the holder of that certification? Where do you foresee that holder going from a business standpoint?
When they finish the program, it really depends upon the individual and, I guess, their motivation. When they finish, they are eligible to sit for the Institute of Brewing and Distilling's General Certificate Program. They have a suite of professionally accredited programs. They're a chartered organization working out of London. And they can start that sequence of programs, which is really the gold standard accreditation-wise from an industrial perspective, if you want to move up and move on. So in a sense, Auburn becomes a testing center. You graduate with the grad cert, you're eligible to start sitting for those programs. If you're in business, I would like to think that, you know, your employer would recognize the merit in what you did, so you would have an opportunity to move up and move on promotion-wise. Mm-hmm. If you're a home brewer, it potentially opens up the world of craft brewing, commercially to you as a career venture.
A garagiste, right? As they say in the wine industry, right? A garagista. You can create the wines in your garage and sell them.
Well, I don't know that they would move to that necessarily. I think most of the garage beers are sort of, you know, produced for home consumption.
Well, I point you, frankly, yeah. I point you to the Napa Valley region, and I point yeah. you to some incredible winemakers.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Who began their mm-hmm. careers as yeah. winemakers in their garage.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. We were guests of Oscar Blues recently at the Great American Beer Festival in Denver, and we were very fortunate to spend a day visiting the New Belgium Brewery. And when you look at their starting kit, which was really in the basement of their home, and they were doing that commercially, I think a 1.5-barrel system, if memory serves me correctly, which is really what a lot of home brewers, you know, operate on when they get into it, to where they are today. It's just, it's absolutely phenomenal. So, yeah, I mean, I'm tongue-in-cheek.
Martin, was it a love of beer that brought you to this, or was it, or was it a natural development of the hospitality component?
You know, it's a little, it's been a little bit of both. I would say I've been home brewing beer from I was an undergraduate at university, and pulled away from that to get on with the business of raising a family, and then I bumped into what I like to refer to as my crazy Canadian colleague, a wonderful guy called Kurt Bird, who's at the university. He works in veterinary science, and he brought me back into the fold, as it were. But more seriously, it was the opportunity and the need educationally to satisfy demand. You know, one of the things I hate to see is I hate to see dollars and cents leak economically out of the state. I hate to think that people, in order to further their education, have to leave the state of Alabama in order to do so, when there's an industry in Alabama that's developing and crying out for that expertise. And, you know, economically, it just made sense from a what I like to term an intersectoral linkage perspective. It's just one more piece of the pie that we have ownership of. Therefore, we're holding a greater percentage of each dollar that is being spent in the distribution chain. So,
from the local to the truly international, mm-hmm. Auburn University has created a partnership with the Capella Hotel Group.
That's correct, yeah.
Please talk a little bit about that. How did that begin? And really, what does – I mean, the partnership to me is really one of the – I mean, that's the reason I became involved myself, selfishly, because of the work I was doing with the group at Capella. And while it is by no means simply a training ground for future Capella employees – what I've noticed is that a true sense of very high quality, European-flavored hospitality science is being employed down there. How does that happen at Auburn, Alabama?
Yeah, you know, it's a long story, but in a nutshell,
we got 8 minutes.
I want to say the chief executive of what was then the West Paces Hotel.
The great Horst Schulze. The great
Horst had always been on my dean's advisory board, and they had talked for a long time about the hotel and conference center at Auburn and the opportunity for the university to purchase that and potentially to do something curriculum-wise. In 2002, after he had separated from Ritz-Carlton and Marriott, I think there was a period that he really had to stay out of the business, for want of a better term, but that came to an end in 2002. And
called it non-compete.
That's it.
And he
decided to sit down with our dean, June Hinton, who's been very innovative every step of the way on this. And,
Dean Hinton, we have to give her a
big
nod
plug
here.
Yeah. So anyway, they talked about finally doing something. So we all sat around a table in March 2003 and signed a partnership around the concept of doing something very different educationally. And, you know, there are days I come into work, they stripped every brick off that building. They tore the inside out of it, the heart and the soul out of it, and rebuilt every facet.
Now, for those who have not visited Auburn, Alabama, and I'm sure there are a number of you, there is a beautiful hotel and conference center opposite the campus, which is operated ostensibly by the Capella Group,
Capella Hotel Group,
but also as a training ground for
it's a learning, a simulated learning environment. So our kids are fully integrated in the hotel in an operational and managerial sense, and similarly, their senior management team is fully integrated in a teaching sense, and to an extent, a research sense in our programming efforts.
Martin, where does Capella operate hotels?
I mean, all over the world.
Right. I actually want you to
yeah,
say some of them.
I mean, they're in Germany. They were in Italy until quite recently. They are about to open in Sochi. They're in China. They're in Singapore. They are in Austria. I mean, they have quite
they're beautiful, beautiful resorts in Mexico.
I have
been a guest at the extraordinary Capella Hotel in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that's a more recent property.
It is a more recent property, but I'm expressing it now to anyone listening to the program who has the opportunity to spend a little time in Washington, even if you don't stay at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It is cutting-edge hospitality in every way. And that is the type of hospitality from a hotel management standpoint that's being taught at Auburn.
Their perspective, it's interesting to me. In entering graduate school as a wayward individual in the early 1990s, I talked a lot about quality, but really couldn't give any structure to it. And one afternoon, my major professor handed me, I think it was the Cornell Quarterly. There was an article in that about the Baldrige Award and Horst Schultze. And that became the launch pad for my academic and research career. And then I found myself in 2003 sitting opposite him in a room in Auburn, Alabama, signing up to this new partnership educationally. But their entire thinking is informed decision-making. It's quality, continuous quality improvement.
Folks,
and that's
all
about science.
If you're listening and the name Horst Schultze does not mean anything to you now, I invite you to Google that name. He is an icon in the hospitality industry, particularly in hotel operations, and in particular in the quality side. He's an extraordinary guy with extraordinary vision. Auburn University is fortunate, in my estimation, to have someone who actually takes real ownership of what his experience can mean for students. Let's talk about the graduate programs for a moment at the school. Besides the science program, again, most of our listeners are not they're not coming out of high school. They're professionals, or they are hospitality professionals that may want to continue their education.
Sure.
What options are available for them at Auburn?
The options, and again, we were quite unique in a way. There's the master's degree series. And when I say master's degree, there's non-thesis, which typically attracts people in industry
Right.
who want to move up, move on. What's very appealing about Auburn's program is you can do it entirely by a distance education. In fact, I understand it to have been the first in the country. The other option at the master's level then is the academic option, which is the thesis track master's, and that is more attractive to people who are thinking about a PhD. So
can I create my own concentration in a master's program there?
Research-wise, yes, you can. But there are a suite of courses that are laid down that are core in a research sense, that are core in a hospitality sense, and then you have the ability to pick up elective subject matter both within the department and elsewhere in the college and university.
What about the PhD side?
On the PhD side, that's exactly the same. The very appealing thing about our PhD is that if you take your master's degree at Auburn, all 33 credits should transfer directly over to the 60-credit expectation for your PhD.
That's perfect.
Absolutely.
That's beyond perfect.
Yeah.
Now, can that be done via?
No, a number of the courses can. Certainly, all of the master's level courses can, but mm-hmm. there is an expectation that you will be resident for the PhD, in addition to taking those distance courses.
Thank goodness for that, because I think that to earn a degree from Auburn and not have to experience the Auburn lifestyle, the incredible people who listen are not going to understand what I'm about to say unless they've been to Auburn. but there is incredible diversity, and I am not talking about what Americans think of as diversity. There is international diversity at that campus, particularly in the School of Hospitality, that you really cannot find elsewhere in such a warm environment. It's extraordinary, and I speak from personal experience. Dr. Martin O'Neill, before we sign off, take a minute. You've had an incredible career. You're 46 years old. You are, you grew up in Northern Ireland during a very difficult period of time. You've developed a career in hospitality that's brought you to the United States via Ireland, via England, via Australia. Is there a better industry in the world to work in?
No, I don't think so. I really don't think so. To me, every day, and you know, we hear practitioners say it all the time, you know, you're a nun, you're a priest, you're a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and in an academic sense, it's exactly the same. I mean, we deal with some wonderful, wonderful students, but there's a lot of counseling that has to go on, a lot of advising that has to go on, and every day brings a different challenge and a different set of opportunities, and every day is exciting as a consequence, and I absolutely love it.
Dr. Martin O'Neill,
Bruno
Professor at the Auburn University School of Hospitality Management and Brewing Science. He brought some incredible things to the university. Can't wait until next year when we start developing that bourbon program.
Mm-hmm. For sensory evaluation reasons? Sure.
Exactly. Phil Colicchio, signing off, wishing you all the happiest of holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Look forward to seeing you again in 2014. War damn eagle, sir.
War damn eagle.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.